Oh, I guess I gotta share this with you. My buddy Pews and I, he called me the other day and said, I'd meet you out at the restaurant, I'm buying. When he says I'm buying, I run. Anyway, we were sharing, and he just has a photographic memory. Just about everything, he can look at something and just that quick he has it. And it can be something that happened years ago, and he can still say everything about it. And he was talking about some kind of a movie, and he just began to just relate on everything that was going on. And I'm looking at him kind of strange, and he says, you remember? We saw it together. Oh, that's right. Whew. Boy, I said, one thing good about my memory is I can watch the same movie 10 times and get something new out of it all the time because I've forgotten most of it. Oh, my. Well, let's pray. Let's ask God's help. Heavenly Father, you laid this message in my heart, and now I want you to be able to share this in such a way that everyone can receive something from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The church. We usually refer to this as the church. How many times have you grown up and you referred to this building as a church? Probably every one of you. We're going to go to church. And now we forget that this building is not the church. This is a building. This building keeps the elements off of our heads. Keeps the sunshine from putting a tan or a burn on your head. Keeps you dry when it's raining outside. Keeps you warm when it's cold outside. Keeps you cool when it's hot outside. This is just a building. It is not the church. You see signs along the road that says CH, two letters missing, CH. Guess what's missing? You are missing. You are. You are the church. You are the church. So what is the purpose of the church? I want everybody to get this. As your pastor, I want you to understand, what is the purpose of the church? If I were to pass this paper around and I want you to write down what you think the purpose of the church would be, what are some things that you think the purpose of the church is? Anyone, just start saying some things. What's the purpose of the church? Sharing God's love. Pointing the way to Jesus. Worshiping, that's part of it. Helping each other. And that can be in physical ways. It can be financially. It can be emotionally. When the Holy Spirit prompts you to call somebody, you should do that. Because maybe it's a phone call that they really, really needed to have at that time. Maybe they're going through a really hardship and the Holy Spirit prompted you to call them. What a blessing you'd be to them at that time in their life. Anything else? What's the purpose of the church? What should we be doing as a church? There's more. A light. We sang about that. We sang about that. A light. Are you a light? Are you salty? Are you making other ones want and desire to be saved? To be a Christian? What a blessing. I'll say, Fanny, that we heard that someone in your family had been watching their lives. And was it a brother, I think? A brother was watching. And, you know, he just some people just, they just don't, they're not churchy. They just don't want to be in church. They don't want to go to church. And they have a hard time, you know, just coming to the Lord. They just, and in this situation, he saw his sister go through so many terrible things in her life. And yet she still was able to smile and be happy. And you know what? That spoke to his heart so strongly that he said, whatever you got, sis, I want it. I want it. Wow. You see, that's a part of what we need to be. We need to be like that. Now, if somebody sees you throwing a tamper fit, and you know, that's probably not something they'd like to come up to you and say, hey, show me how you do that. I'd like to be able to do it that way. You don't want to have many people come banging on your door, will you? Well, I want to see how you throw that tamper fit, because I'm not real good at it. But when they see things in your life that they know that their life is lacking, they want that. I don't know what you got, but I want it. I want it. That's the soul. That's the light. You're the light in the world. You're the soul of the earth. People need to see Jesus in you. There's lots of times in life activities become routine. It can happen in church. Our activities of singing, worshiping, sharing, testimonies, taking offerings, anointing, whatever, all the things we do in church can become routine. And many times it's very easy to overlook the significance of all that we do. So I want to try to share about some of the things that we do and why we do that. Many things that we do here at the church can become so familiar to us. But we need to stay focused. And I know that am I losing battery here? I know that our church is doing a lot of wonderful, wonderful things. I have a list here of the many things that our church is involved in and doing. Does anybody know the first mention of the word church in the Bible? Where is the word church first mentioned in the Bible? Anybody know? Sooner than that. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. I believe it tells us there in that verse that the church belongs to Christ. And there will always be a conflict. We'll be involved when there's growth. You see, the devil don't want you to grow. He wants you to just stay babies. But Paul had mentioned that we're no longer babies. We need to grow up. If I was going to start a brand new church, what kind of way would I want to start the church? I'd say now comes the play, Scotty, is your Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Are you witnesses for Jesus? We're to be his witnesses. And I want you to notice how it starts. We're to be witnesses in Jerusalem. That's most important. Do you understand Jerusalem's Mount Pleasant Mills? For us today, it's Mount Pleasant Mills. It's Richfield. It's Coquelamus. That's for us. Are you a witness in Mount Pleasant Mills? You see, it has to start here. We think about missions, and I'm going to get to that. Missions is a very important part of the church is to give to missions. But our mission must first start here in Jerusalem. If you can't make it work here in Jerusalem, then they're used going to Samaria and the other most parts of the world. How do you feel sitting in a church that is ministering to the other most parts of the world when there's somebody in your church that's lacking? When there's somebody in your church that's hurting? When there's somebody in the church that don't even have enough money to make it through the winter, to keep warm? How does that affect you? How do you feel about that when your church is sending money overseas but can't seem to see the need in their own pew? You see, that's why it's important that it starts in Jerusalem. Not only should it start in Jerusalem, it needs to what? It needs to continue in Jerusalem. We need to continue our work and mission. Always in the area that we live, right here where we live. Help people, help communities, help people who have had a house fire, lost everything. That's part of the church, and it's part of our community, and it's part of Jerusalem. It's where we need to start. That's where you start, and that's where you continue. And then Judea. As the church grows and you have more people, you have more income, then you surely can go beyond Jerusalem now. You can go to Judea. and you can go to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. So there you have really what I believe is the Great Commission. That's the Great Commission. We read it. Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. And I looked up the commission. It means instructions. It means command. Instructions and command. Well, I have it here someplace. Instructions, command. It's the command to go forth and be a witness in the area that you're living in, not only just in Jerusalem, but then you can go on to Judea, Samaria, and to the parts of the world. So the first them I have is a message. We have a message to bring to the world. God sent his only son to pay the penalty for sin at the death on the cross. And he did it for those who will believe in him so that they can be forgiven and have received eternal life. John chapter 3 and verse 16. I was looking back to see for Maverick to get by John 3:16. Our message is not about all kinds of things. Hundreds or thousands of other things. It is one essential truth. And everything we do is because of it. And we're to do that in the way of the transformation of lives. There's all kinds of ideas. There's all kinds of philosophies. But our message never needs to be revised. It is the same one that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago. And it is still effective. It is still powerful to transform people's lives, no matter what their culture and no matter what their language is. Amen. That message remains the same. The second M is our mission. God gave this church a mission to accomplish, to spread the gospel to every tribe, every language, every people. In Revelation 5 and 9, I marked that I'd like to read it for you. In Revelation 5 and 9, we got to get back to Bible study. I missed that. Love Bible study. Verse 9, a song, a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The gospel is to go to every tribe and language and people and nation. We're to teach and train through messages and sermons and Bible studies and Sunday school programs. Why? To equip God's people. We must know the truth before we can pass it on to others. Paul said, I have delivered that which I also what? Received. So as you receive it, you can deliver it and share it with others. And when people begin to see the change in your life, that's what's the amazing power of the gospel. It is amazing. I've seen it as a pastor for years. I've seen it. I've seen changes in your lives. It's just so, I'm so happy to see the changes that the word of God and Jesus is doing in your lives. It just blesses me beyond measure. Such wonderful, wonderful things happening in your life because you're letting Jesus shine. Let Jesus use you in this church, not just this particular church, but the church all over. There's a church everywhere throughout all the United States. There's a church of people who love Jesus and are saved and have repented of their sins, and Jesus is living in their heart. That is the church. The gospel is global. Oh, let me mention to you how global it really is. We have a list, and I'll read them for you. This is what our church supports. This church, St. Thomas here, supports. Dwayne and Susie Hess. Dean and Trudy Hess, New Zealand. Neil and Tony Hess, they work with refugees in Harrisburg. Christian Aid Mission, Paul and L.V. Barner, and they're working in the Philippines. We have the Uganda Mission. You're familiar with that, Joyce. WGRC, anybody know about that radio station? Church supports it. Focus on the Family. We have the Central Pennsylvania Youth Ministries. Expectations Women's Center in Lewisburg. We have Promise Ranch Ministries. We send them money each month. All these that I'm talking about, there's $100 that's sent to them each month from St. Thomas. And that helps children at Promise Ranch that don't have money to go there. So our church helps with that to support children. I've heard of children just the other week that have been going there and they're just having a wonderful time. And they're coming from poor families who can't afford to go. But because this church supports them, they can go. Praise the Lord. Silver linings. Joyce Wilson and Dick have started because of Matthew. And then West Africa, Samuel Mahinyu. And not to mention then also the Gideons that places Bibles all over. And Marie Ministry. I have their newsletter here, Marie Ministry. Marie is letters that represent ministry to Russia and Eastern Europe. During the 23 years of history, ministry to Russia and Eastern Europe has raised millions of dollars for Bibles. Every year, we provide between 10 and 25,000 Bibles. It is extremely invigorating to see people move to tears as they receive their first copy of the Bible. Just wonderful. 8,300 Bibles delivered. Praise the Lord. Their newsletter, I just can go on and on with that letter. But these are the ministries that St. Thomas has been supporting. As you can see, that the ministry should be global. That's the other most parts of the world. But yet, it's very personal. It's very personal. Each individual must accept Jesus Christ in their heart personally and repent of their sins and invite Jesus Christ to live in their hearts. And then thirdly, I'll soon be done, the motivation. We talk about the motivation. It's twofold. Jesus commands us to make disciples and to teach them to observe all instructions. I was thrilled when Rebecca is involved with disciple making. She's involved in disciple making. It's what I'm talking about today. And she's doing just exactly what the church should be involved in. Making a disciple. Finding somebody that needs Jesus. And then after they receive Jesus, don't let them. Stick with them. Call them. Encourage them. Make a disciple out of them. Make sure they're strong in the faith and they continue to read the Bible and pray and establish a prayer life. And get them to grow in Jesus so that when they grow, they can also duplicate what you did. You understand that? That's what the church is about. It's duplication. You got saved. Are you glad you're saved today? Amen. Well, what about the rest of the people that don't know Jesus? They need to be saved. I'm glad to get together here. I'm just wonderful on Sunday mornings to be with you. I just enjoy being with you. But you know what? It's good, and I feel good. But when Monday comes around, it's time to find somebody that needs Jesus. Can you share your life about Jesus to them? They need Jesus. People need the Lord. I think of so many things that I've gone through in my life. I can't imagine doing it without Jesus. I can't imagine it doing it without a church that's been praying for me and loving me and caring for me and sending me cards and all kinds of things to encourage me. I can't imagine doing it without that. I can't imagine living without that. I wouldn't want to live that way without it. But there's so many people that do. So your prayer should be, Lord, send me to somebody like that. And I'll share my testimony with them. I'll share it with them. I want to see them saved. I want to see them living for Jesus. There's so many people need the Lord. So many. The second motivation is the condition of lost humanity. It should prod us into action. In the scriptures, God describes the unredeemed as separated from him. Deceived. They're darkened in their understanding. They're helpless to save themselves. They're hopeless without him. How can we possibly keep to ourselves the message with the power to transform people's lives from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's Son? How can we not share that? And then lastly, our method. And the methods we have are so various today. We're so blessed to live in a time that we do. We live in a very amazing time in history. We have so many avenues that are available for reaching the lost. 95% of the world's population has the opportunity to hear the gospel in their own language because of Bible translators, Christian radio, recordings, movies, videos like the Jesus film. We've given money toward that so that more people can get to know Jesus by just watching the Jesus film. Our church has supported that many times. It's given to that cause so people can see what Jesus did for them, the Jesus film. About a fourth of the world has internet access. What a new and exciting way to spread the gospel. 24/7, people all over the world can access our messages on the internet, including the one at St. Thomas. We're living in an amazing time today. People, for whatever reason is, you know there's jobs that they require that they can't be here on a Sunday. We have nurses. We have nursing homes that people cannot come on a Sunday to be here to hear a message. But we have avenues today that they can still hear the message and still have their hearts touched. Isn't it an amazing time that we live? Yes, it is. Our Lord's commission is global, but it certainly shouldn't cancel our individual responsibility, as I was sharing. Find somebody to give your testimony to. It isn't just for pastors. It isn't just for missionaries. We are all called to be missionaries in our towns, in our workplaces, in our schools, to our families. We are all called to be missionaries. It is so easy to huddle together here on a Sunday morning at the church here at St. Thomas, thinking that we have done our duty for the week. But I can tell you that Christ wants us to gather together to learn and to grow and to encourage one another. And then, for what reason? To go out and share the hope of salvation with the people that we encounter each and every week. I've been to several churches and visited them, and I've seen on their door as they go out a sign that says, "You're now entering the mission field." Amen. That's what it is today. As we leave this church, we are entering the mission field. The mission field is right here where we live. Can you share Jesus to somebody that's hurting, that needs him? Can you share, "Listen, can I just have a prayer with you? I'll pray with you. I know you've been going, I know you just lost a loved one. I know what that's like to lose a loved one. I've lost loved ones. And I'll pray with you. I know that you're hurting, and I'll pray with you. Would that be okay?" And you'd be amazed how far that goes. They'll usually let you to pray. It's very odd sometimes that they don't, but they'll let you pray with them. And you'll be able to share later on, maybe perhaps in their life, what God's been doing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, thank you for this message. It's a message, Lord, that I've heard, and I'm sure I've shared this many times here. But, Father, I felt you to impress this upon me today, that we needed to remember our focus, just to be reminded of our focus. It's all about you. It's about getting others to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I just pray for, as a pastor myself, Lord, that I can be used, to continue to be used, to be an example to others. Lord, and everyone that's here under the ministry of this word today, I pray, Father, that you'll give them the courage to share. I pray that you'll give them the opportunity. I pray that you'll give them the door of opportunity maybe this week to share with someone that's discouraged or is suffering maybe from some kind of a disease in their body or whatever it might be. Father, I pray that you'll use somebody here in this church this week to share with somebody about that situation. Might be just a little conversation, but it'd be surprising how much that little conversation can mean so much to that one that's hurting. So, Lord, I pray that you'll use me and use anyone that's here. And Lord, we just need to make ourselves available to you. So Lord, we make ourselves available to you, Lord, this week, and not only this week, but continually throughout our lives until you call us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.